Good afternoon. Welcome to the second hour of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cunniff, and our sponsor is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere ag and turf dealer. If you're looking for a tractor or a mower or attachment, and it's green, go up and see them. They've got it all in stock up there. They're in Shasta Lake City at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, or you can give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com.
And yeah, there you go.
Yeah, well, you might need a generator. They got generators in stock. They got you got to go trim your yard up, get a steel chainsaw, cut some trees. Go see them.
Wide variety of things. And if you broke it, take it up there and get it fixed.
Yep.
Don't call him on the phone, though, and try to get it fixed over the phone.
No.
There's some guy named Bill there. He gets really annoyed about that.
I heard he's kind of an old codger when you make those calls. A lot of times I forget to bring my crystal ball, and I just can't seem to get it done over the phone.
Could be a spark plug. No, it's not that.
No, it's not that. Okay, well, I guess I don't know what it is.
Boy. Equipment business.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that.
I know. Yeah. I do my best.
Yeah, I know. You're here to help.
I got a little stash of stuff. It's like playing home on the range. Yeah. I love playing home on the range because I always get the what the hell look on your face.
It's just,
You play it every week.
You're from the government and you're here to help.
That's like me. Yeah, that's what I do.
Yep. That's your magic.
Mm-hmm. So you can find everything about the show, actually, along with over 10 years of archives at wethepeopleradio.us. And if you're listening and you're like, these breaks are a pain, well, hey, free enterprise is a good thing, so we should celebrate it while we still have it before Bernie and the crowd gets a hold of it and strangles it to death. But,
well, yeah, but then they'll pay for everything, and we won't have to worry about
that's
sponsors
right. It'll be
and
so
all
much
that.
Better.
I know it.
Because it's
know
really
it.
Worked out well historically, as Elaine has so well.
And I'm sure the
eliminated.
First ones that'll get funded are the radio talk shows. They'll take care of
the
them
conservative
first.
Radio talk shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Make that distinction. Yeah, they'll make sure we stay on the air because God knows they love us. We take all the commercials out. Robert does. I say we like I have a mouse in my pocket. Robert here takes all the commercials out for us, and so you have commercial free archives that are just an MP3 file you can listen to whenever you want. Send it to a friend. Burn it on a CD, sell it for your group and raise money. We don't care what you do with it. We have no interest in copyright or going after you or anything like that. We do this as a public service. So, and if you don't think we're funny and you don't like our information, then, well, you're always free to listen to something else. Which would be a politically correct way of saying we don't care. But we're always happy for suggestions. You can find all our info on the website. So our telephone numbers and email are right there. And so I guess that's all the information we want to share.
That's all you got?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Elaine's got all her information on here, actually. Phone and email. I was assuming you wanted me to keep that on there.
Yes, I sent you something just today, Aaron.
Right.
It's an article called A Severely Wounded American Eagle. And it's actually the preface to the book, American Tribal Tyranny. I sent you that article, and I'm hoping you might post it.
I will do that right now.
Yeah, A Severely Wounded American Eagle. It is the actual preface to the book, American Tribal Tyranny. And I wanted to mention that the book is all over Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble or any of your book websites. And if somebody wants a bulk order, they can simply email me and I can get them a reduced rate on bulk orders. But I would like to shift, if it's okay with you guys, to a controversial puzzle that I'm working through, that I'm thinking about confronting with some writings. And, you know, I like to be squeaky wheel or maybe the canary in the coal mine. And here's where I'm going to start it with this puzzle. I'm going to give you four words, and you tell me which one is different. The first word is apartheid. The second word is slavery. The third word is diversity. And the fourth word is segregation. Apartheid, slavery, diversity, segregation. Which one is different?
I'm going to go with equity.
No, I didn't say that. That could be the fifth word. That's the
third. I told her, I go, None of them?
Well, the answer I usually get is diversity is different. It is not. It is sugarcoating segregation, you know, apartheid, and in some cases slavery. I kind of think that we have become a country that is being pitted one against the other based on skin color.
Yep.
And, you know, I call that skin deep thinking, which is really a way to take our country apart. And it's being promoted by major corporations, you know, nonprofit organizations and all these folks that say, well, my skin color is more important than yours. We are Americans. And my goal is that we somehow find a way to stop hyphenating us Americans. We're not Hispanic Americans and Black Americans and Native. We are Americans. And we just urgently need to restore back to that, because that was the founding principle of our country. But it's all gone to this skin deep, shallow thinking for profit or for power, mm-hmm. you know? So what do you guys think about that?
No, I totally agree. I'm working to get somebody on to talk about this Equity Act stuff, because at the base of that is basically just greed. And it's not something you see right away. Some of this stuff is pretty obvious, you know. I mean, the whole thing is pretty transparent. But then you get looking at some of this other stuff and you go, well, that's really tricky. You know, like the transgender thing. Who would have thought? It was really all about profit. But the people who are pushing it and putting big money into it, they're the ones with the pharmaceutical companies, the surgery centers, all this kind of stuff. It's like, well, that's
big pharma.
Depressing.
It's a very tiny piece of our population. You know, the LGBT segment of our population is not very large.
But the funny part is that the L's, the G's, and the B's want out. They want to you know, snip off the T's there and get them out of the mix, because they're the ones messing everything up.
Yeah.
They've fought for men's rights and women's rights, and basically they're not confused about their sexuality.
No.
And now these other people have rolled in and taken over the whole thing and erased all the work. So women have no rights, men have no rights, nobody's got any rights. And you know, even more over than that, the equity thing would actually enshrine in law thought crimes.
Yeah.
Because if you can decide what your gender is in your head, and it has nothing to do with any outward anything, then, I mean, you would be committing a thought crime. And how do you defend yourself against that? Can't make laws about that.
Free speech has been under assault for quite a while now. And I really wish, one of the reasons I just think you've always stuck out in my mind, Aaron, is because even though we've not met in person, in times past when you and I have spoken on the phone and whatnot, you just come across as such a strong, colorful, sharp, bright woman. And I love strong women and strong men.
That's not always.
Elaine,
that's not always a good thing. But go ahead. Finish your thought.
I'm the one on the crime show when they say everybody loved her, and it's like, on my crime show, they'd be like, you know, she was an acquired taste.
That goes for strong men, too. That's one of the things I love about Montana, is these cowboys, and these guys are something else. And I love strong women, strong men, you know, because we get one journey on this earth, and we should just, you know, be putting our best efforts and evolving forward while we got those dates. And I kind of have little sympathy for wimpy women and wimpy men, you know?
Yeah,
and you know what?
Not to put too fine a point on it, but I'm with you.
But we have a country that's expanding its population of wimpy women and wimpy men, you know?
Well, and moreover than that, fearful. We are promoting fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, fearful. Yep. You know, afraid they're going to get canceled. Well, you know, if anybody should be canceled, it's me, but, you know, go for it. I'm not ever going to be canceled. You know, we can't let people do this to our individual lives and our individual liberties and whatnot, but we are. It's definitely
disheartening to see a lot of this stuff just breeze right through without much opposition. So
And the hard part is if people want to fight it, we've got to do it to be smart. Otherwise, we're just, you know, sound and fury signifying nothing, that whole situation. Quick break. We'll be right back with our guest, Elaine Willman, and some other snazzy advice for you, I'm sure, on the backside of this this little commercial.
Oh, you always do. Yeah, not a problem.
We're going to let Bill lead the advice. Over there taking pot shots. You're listening to We the People. Join us online. WeThePeopleRadio.us. Going to play Man Eater, but that seemed a little over the top. Although I would have enjoyed it. Okay, I posted your severely wounded American Eagle on the site, so that's all on there up for
good.
Folks.
If oh, good.
You want to refresh your pages?
Oh, good. You know, one of my favorite songs is quoted in there. Leonard Cohen's "Democracy." There's a line in his song where he says, "I love this country, but I can't stand the scene." and that's exactly where I'm at. I love this country. Never had a hometown or a home state, but I have a home country, and I love this country. But I sure can't stand the scene that's going on right now. So,
at least you have half the country who. Well, I don't know. You pretty have the whole country. Everybody's just mad about different things.
Yeah, mad and fear. There was there was an astronaut giving a report on the landing of the rover on Mars, the Perseverance that's on Mars now, and he was being interviewed, and he was asked if he thought the space program, restarting and reinvigorating the space program, was good for America or good for our people, and would our people support it? And his answer was yes. He said when we landed the man on the moon, that just bonded all of humanity in that moment. It just brought the whole world together when we landed the man on the moon, and that space exploration is part of the awe and wonder of our human minds. And he said, we really need to get back to awe and wonder as opposed to fear. And you know, this country is getting strangled by fear. When we're fearful, we're not thinking straight. We're just cowering and caving. And I thought that was a really good point he was making. We're not aspiring to greater things. It's been a long time. You know, now
people get afraid. They're kind of easier to control. And nothing good really happens there. People don't make their best decisions either. They do stupid stuff.
Yeah, well, look what they've done with this COVID, shutting down the whole country. Everybody's just terrified. You got to wear your mask. You got to fear everybody. We have spread fear so far and wide across this country when we've had plagues and flus since man. And we're the most evolved country in the world. We should be able to handle this based on our personal responsibilities and, you know, common sense. But, oh, no, it's been weaponized as a tool to just implant fear and shut down the economy. And you know,
It's interesting, though, you know, I like to, as soon as they start coming at me with stuff that's just too much, you know, really over the top and the that all that, you know, look out. Wait a second. What are you pitching? Well, it's interesting because the first thing we all saw was how the statistics were changing. You know, first we were talking about one thing, then we're talking about another thing, and every time it wasn't really on trajectory as they predicted, we changed the topic. Well, there's a commercial running. I'm sure it's a public service announcement. We're going to use that term loosely. It plays at night that I keep hearing, and the guy talks about, wow, you know, when you're out there, you want to wear your mask and help other people by doing it, and then you got to get your shot, you know, get in line and get your shot. Well, you know, it's interesting. The guy never talks about washing your hands anymore. And that was always part of his shtick a few months ago. You had to wear your mask. You had to stay away from people. Wear your mask, stay away from people, and wash your hands. Yeah. And now it's interesting. I guess we can only do three things at a time because now we're supposed to wear our mask, stay away from everybody, and get a shot. But I guess your hands can be, you know, gross and dirty.
Yeah.
Because they don't, I guess your hands don't spread germs anymore.
Well, we'll slowly phase all this out, and we'll find a different thing to be afraid of.
But I'm wondering what the next thing is that they're going to add, because I'm seeing it change. It
China's figured that out. This is about controlling populations and spreading fear. China is now requiring anybody coming into China to have an anal swab.
that's an incentive.
Yeah, well, what is that going to do to the Olympics in Beijing? Who's going to fly over there and say, oh, gosh, I want to go to the Olympics, so I'll bend over.
Yeah, you know exactly. all the jokes about bending over, they were all real.
But you know what? That's a government humiliating people. That's what it's doing. And they're saying, oh, that's the most effective test. But that is a government taking complete control of a human being and adding humiliation.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's disgusting.
Yeah, never.
I don't care if it's a better test.
Yeah, know? That's... Well, I'm sorry, where do we do all that? I have a lot of questions. A lot of questions, none of them I ever intend to answer in person.
It's gonna spawn a whole new industry, so let's just leave it at that.
And the jokes are going to be endless. Wow. Well, I mean, apparently there's a lot to... Never mind, I'm just going to go down the booty bumping trail. If you don't know what that is, you should look that up. They're doing booty bumping kits. So you get free needles, free syringes, and a booty bumping kit. And just in case you thought that was like some sort of like hip-hop dance move you were going to get coached on, it's not. It's not. It involves methamphetamines and the thing about the swab bending over, blah, blah, blah.
Really?
Yeah, if you want to... Exactly, that's what I said.
Oh, no.
Yeah, there's a lot of... We've gone down a bad road. We need to get back and go to work and, you know, rake leaves and... I don't know. Maybe that's why people don't have yards anymore. They don't want anybody to waste all their time raking leaves. They want them to be out there where they can get them to do things like this. Ew.
We continually lower the standards. We just continually lower and remove and... the standard into where, you know, every little weird and wild thing becomes the new trend.
Yeah, it's the new, the new normal, as they say.
Yeah, and we don't have those values. I mean, just fundamental values of kindness towards others and minding your own business and please and thank you and respect for each other. That's becoming kind of a unnecessary part of it, you know. Now it's the outrageous, the most outrageous, the most trendy, you know?
Yeah. Well, we need to stop normalizing that because it's kind of teaching people that there are no limits. And then they, they fall for anything. So I look at the work that you've done. I remember a long time ago and you had told us, you said, that when we are tribalizing our country and splitting everyone into all these groups, we're doing the exact opposite of what we do abroad, which is go to countries that have tribal... Tell people that again, because that was a long time ago.
Well, we'll shed our American blood to bring democracy to countries, corrupt countries with tribalism. We'll send our soldiers over there to help them have democracy. We've done that for decades, but we'll spread tribalism here, you know. And the way this spreads is not a big leap from collectivism on Indian reservations to some wackos in Seattle saying, hey, we're going to have an autonomous zone here. Or the folks in Minneapolis saying, hey, we can take over downtown Minneapolis. It's ours. Or what was mentioned earlier about a couple of cultures growing massive dope in Northern California. When you have one culture that has its own little space and place in collectivism, that's noticed and observed and replicated by other forces that are, you know, look at Portland, Oregon. You know, that those are elements of tribalism and collectivism that have nothing to do with our federal and state principles and laws. But these groups are saying, hey, we can take our piece of the pie. No problem. There's no consequence. What's the consequence for Seattle or Portland or Minneapolis? You know, or those dope growers in Northern California. There are no consequences.
No, and if you're big enough and you're scary enough, and that seems to be the criteria, which is such a bad precedent. You know, if you're heavily armed and hard to control and people might get hurt, then everybody kind of probably better stand back on that one.
Another large one that I sometimes chew on that bothers me a lot is that I remember, now I'm going to give away my age. I'm going to turn 78 this year, and I have 3 great-grandchildren. And I'm really proud of every year and every day and all my family. But I remember being raised in a time where, my God, if you told a lie, you get your mouth washed out with soap, there was a serious consequence. Privately in your family or in your school or in your government, if you told a lie, you were toast. And now all of our politics is a big ongoing, and mainstream media is an ongoing lie.
And you can get away with it if you do it all fast enough.
Yeah.
Remember when we were kids? If you told a lie, the whole show stopped.
Oh, absolutely.
And the spotlight came out. And you were, burned like ants with a magnifying glass. And now, you know, the lying is just kind of part of the...
You're rewarded.
Yeah.
And that is the history of advancement in the tribal government, too. Whatever you can lie to and steal and get from the white man will get you promoted in the tribal government.
Oh.
You know? Yeah.
It's an interesting strategy, but apparently it's working.
In the collectivism, that's how the ruling families came into their rule. Whatever you could get away with was rewarded in advancement in the political control of the collective.
Mm.
You know?
That's very interesting because that's really kind of a national concept with Russia and China, too.
Yeah,
we have to take a really quick break, but when we come back, I definitely want to, let's not lose that thread. And talk a little bit about the collectivism when we come back, because I'm not sure that everybody's necessarily on the same page with that, and it's an important concept that we should be looking at with the backdrop of everything that's going on. So let's see, we're here with Elaine Willman. We're chatting at We the People Radio here at KCNR. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's our time to take a stand. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
There's a call across this land. Remember who we are.
Remember who we are.
We were a city. Tears. Remember.
Just in case you thought this was going to be one of those programs where it all ends with, you know, life sucks and then you die. No! It's not the point. It's not the point.
That was a great song. Great song.
It's one of those that is so... I really ought to look it up. I don't know when she wrote it, but Krista Branch. But it's very, very... this seems perfect for this time.
Very fitting right now.
Very fitting. And you know, it's interesting, too... we used to, we were laughing on the break, of course, because that's what we do. But the memes that have come out have been very, very telling. I kind of collect them all because they're just, I think maybe one day I'll, I don't know, put them all in one of those little, you know, you can order little books with all your own pictures. I think I might put them all in there because when you load memes in your phone, they go in the order that you receive them. So as you scroll through these, you're really looking at the history of our political theater, as it were.
Yeah,
with all the jokes. But lately, Blazing Saddles has been the meme of choice. And so any of us that are old, we all saw Blazing Saddles. Mm-hmm. But like there was one, Blazing Saddles has been edited for TV. It will air tonight from 8 o'clock to 8:07. And it's
exactly.
Like, but the thing is, we used to work out a lot of our... you know, angst through humor, through debate and humor. And, you know, we kind of, you know, we joked about things.
We made fun of it. We made fun of some of these ridiculous ideas. But, boy, you make fun of it now. You're canceled.
There is no humor.
No, there's no humor.
Maybe that's why I don't like the way it goes now. It's not funny at all. And not everything is funny. However, if we can kind of see the humor in something, then, you know, everyone can learn a little bit, move forward. But that's kind of the first thing that they set their sights on. You know, let's make sure nobody gets to laugh about anything. Remember the Charlie Hebdo cartoon? You know, you're
not allowed.
No, there will be no humor. Yeah. It's been
well, you
erased.
Know, in, years ago, I used to do counseling. It was women counseling, addiction counseling, recovery from addiction counseling. And one of the things that psychologists and counselors look for with somebody who's just terribly depressed is you know you've gained some ground or they're on the road to recovery when you hear them laugh. Because under depression, there is no humor. There is no perspective. And humor is the balance. It is the antidote to depression.
Mm-hmm.
And see... We're getting humor is really taking a bad name now. You know, if you laugh at something, well, you're just not taking it seriously, and you're
right.
Just fool. You know what I mean?
Well,
my son.
I don't think people are very smart when they're when they're so jammed up and angry. I mean,
yeah,
make people laugh a little bit, and it's like they lighten up, and then you can see things a little bit better.
Yeah, here's one for Bill. Bill, here's a little one for you. Let's see if you get this. Did you hear about the guy that sold his homing pigeon on eBay 8 times?
Smart man.
Isn't that great? That is the only joke I've heard in months. You know what I mean?
Oh. I need to start sending you some of my memes.
Oh, yeah. My son is his own only person, but he's told me this several times. These are his things. I don't know where he didn't get them from me, but I love them. He says, there's only 4 things in my life, Mom. It either has to make me money, make me learn, make me happy, or make me laugh. He says, only 4 things in my life. If it doesn't have one of those 4 things, I don't need it. You know what I mean?
That's pretty good.
God bless him.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was kind of joking, you know, on the thing about the whole cancel culture. There's another meme. I'll put it on the page. It's funny. It's got Mr. Potato Head talking to a coffee pot, the Mr. Coffee. And the caption above it is, "You're next."
True.
It is true. I mean, it's stupid, but it's true. I mean, I guess if you could recognize that, you go, really, what are we doing? All right, so back to collectivism, just in case the people out there are going, God, she's all over the place. Rabbit trailer, what the heck? But no, I didn't forget. Talk about collectivism, because it's a really important concept that I'm not sure we really learn along the way.
Well, the guiding, the fundamentals of collectivism is that the importance of the group is superior to the importance of the individual, or the needs of the group are more important than the needs of an individual. So it's all about a group, any group, that thinks that the best interest of the group is the highest principle. And those participants in the group fall below that level. Their individual needs are less important than the needs of a group. And that's what tribal government and collectivism is on the Indian reservation. And it's the same thing with lots of other countries where there is no individual liberty or freedom or significance, no personal aspirations or personal rights. And that's what we have with our inalienable rights in the Constitution. They're gone on Indian reservations, and they're leaving us across the country. We're all becoming Indians under the what I call President Burden, Joe Burden. He's not Biden to me. He's Joe Burden.
I like that.
We're losing our rights under that. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's basically the difference between the republic form of government is bottom up. Well, of course, we are currently upside down, but we the people control our government. Well, it's been just ages since that's been true, but that's the principle.
No, but I think more and more people are realizing the importance of that, and starting to get more involved and starting to pay attention to what's important. And by letting our government just run itself, this is what we end up with.
And by allowing us to be silenced.
Right.
Exactly. And these federal shutdowns, that's a form of promoting collectivism. That's a form of it. Saying, we know what's best for you. We, the collective, know what's best for you, the individual. It's a form of it.
Sure. Sure.
I wonder... What can the people do that are trapped under that? Like, it's been, it's probably been 5 years since we spoke with you on the tribalism idea from your first book. Has there been any meaningful change in Indian policy or anything to give these people a little bit of a break? The folks that are kind of under the thumb of a tyrannical tribal council?
Well, I will say it did not get worse under the Trump administration. Under the Obama administration, he had tribal leaders from across the country come into the White House every year, and he was throwing one thing after another, giving them all kinds of tribal perks and more advantages. Trump never held an annual conference of tribal leaders in the White House in his 4 years. He left them alone, but he didn't do more for them. So we kind of maintained. It's not, my guess is that Biden is going to be replicating or listening to or doing whatever Obama tells him, and that we're going to be going back to that. So I think we're coming into a time period where the tribes are all pounding on the door with Biden, and he's going to give them whatever they want. We could be in even more problems, you know. Basically, in our western states, it's water. The federal government, states own the navigable waters within their state. But the federal government, using tribes and the Little Endangered Species Act or whatever, the federal government is out capturing all the waters it can in the western states. And the Biden administration will be ever so helpful with that.
And so I guess by way of, empowering people who want to do something about it, what would you suggest?
Well, one of the things that we're doing I mean, here in Western Montana, people think differently, perhaps up here than in other places. But
a lot of extra room there. You could spread out.
Yeah. But, you know, when the controversy, the really huge controversy of the election, where there are those that absolutely know it was rigged, and there are those that don't, but most of them know it was rigged. Here. When there was all this controversy and turmoil surrounding the election, folks here were hunkering down. Folks here have their food stocked up for months, their ammo, their wood, whatever they need, and they have their ham radios, and folks around here are really staying in touch with each other and creating networks of neighbors helping neighbors, neighbors being able to respond to neighbors. Because in some of the rural areas, you can't see your next-door neighbor. He may have trouble at his door, and you don't know. Folks here are really getting engaged at the very local level and at the very, very local level here and starting to reach out and connect and communicate with each other because of this chaos in the country. We really were very concerned during the turmoil of the election. It's mellowed out a little bit, but we really don't know where this Biden administration is going. And some of us really envisioned a major EMP power outage for days when now everybody's got generators. I mean, we're gearing up to have to take care of ourselves and our neighbors in the Northwest.
Oh,
that's really fortunate.
Yeah.
That's
you're,
a good point.
Yeah, you're fortunate you're in a community like that, because I think there's probably more than not that are still sitting on their hands. So
well, they think it won't happen, but I think the Texas thing was kind of a clue. I mean, you had people living in apartment buildings, and you saw the gushing water and all that stuff.
That ice storm, you know, in an emergency, you may not even know what your neighbor's name is, but in an emergency, they tend to help each other.
Exactly.
But it's really good to go ahead and reach out and say hello, especially in the urban areas. I know when I lived in Ventura for years and years, I didn't know who my neighbors were. I couldn't care less. People don't talk to each other down there. But up here,
get a
you
dog.
Do.
If you walk your dog.
Yeah.
Everybody talks to people who are walking dogs. It's a great way to know who
people
are.
Everybody's got dirty pickup trucks, and every time you pass another truck on the road, you're waving at them. They're waving at each other. You know, people up here look out for each other, take care of each other, and it's kind of a comforting thing. For example, when we first moved here.
That wouldn't be a bad thing to go back to. Hold on. Hold that story. We'll come right back and do that before the top of the hour. Can you believe it? This is going like... I think you're a time traveler, Elaine. I should change the name of the show. This is Time Tyranny, not American Tribal Tyranny. Something's going on. We're almost done. Can you believe it? You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
This old man and me were at the bar, and we were having us some beers and swapping out on cares, talking politics, blonde and redhead chicks, old dogs and new tricks and habits we ain't kicked. We talked about God's grace, all the hell we raised. And then I heard the old man say, God is great, and beer is good, and people are crazy.
We saved the answer for the end of the show.
Heavy on the crazy.
Who's the one that picks out that beer music? I just love that.
That would be my job over here.
Oh, God, that's great.
I love that song.
Yeah.
I never get tired of it. It's funny every time. So
it's
true.
Very true.
And it's interesting how many of the songs from our, growing up are totally different in the backdrop of today.
Oh, yeah.
And looking at different topics, it's always fascinating to me how music is such a this is such a window into our society.
Yeah. Thank God it endures. We always have it. And, you know, even in spite of, like, the rap and all this stuff that they call music today, you know? I'm glad we have. My husband is he likes the old country music sound, and I appreciate good music, but anyway. I was going to tell you that when we moved out here, because I'd visited out here several times, when we actually made the move and we had a Penske truck and a couple of pickup trucks just loaded to the hilt, and they're making that road trip from Wisconsin out to the western side of Montana. We moved here on July 4th. The trucks pulled in July. They flew me out early to open up the house and put the food in. But the family trucks made that long trip, and they arrived here in the middle of this nowhere valley. On July 4th, it was 104. And when those trucks pulled into this property, there were 45 people here ready to help them unload. And those guys had already worked a full day haying and raising cattle and hay. They'd already worked all day long. And they came out, 45 of them, to help us unload these trucks and get the stuff in the house. And then we had a big barbecue about midnight. I mean, that's
community.
That's awesome.
That's wonderful.
Isn't that community?
Yeah, you're like, I'm never leaving.
Yeah, yeah. And I just can't do enough for people like that. Yeah. I just believe in people like that, and I want to be like them. People brought us vegetables and stuff from their garden all that first year because they knew we didn't have a garden. You know, it was just, it's completely, Montana people are really, really good. Now everybody's moving up, Californians are moving up here, and I hope they don't bring their liberal crap with them. Attitudes with them.
Yeah, you guys need to get to them right away and indoctrinate them before they infect your community.
Yeah, we value each other here. We value our country here. And I'm sure that's true in other states like South Dakota, North Dakota, some of the other states too. Our coastal states. You know, one thing that people in high rises in the urban areas, they really need to know their next door neighbors. You get a power outage for days and you're on the 50th floor. You better know your neighbors. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you would think.
Yeah.
I think that's why all of this, kind of sowing suspicion, you know, you're not wearing, like I can't wear a mask. I haven't worn a mask through this whole thing because I can't.
Yeah,
if I want to suffocate, I can do that all by myself. Yeah. I don't need to put something over my face.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So, you know, people with a lung issue, but you can't see that. So they immediately look at you like, you're just, you know, I had a lady say that I was trying to, accused me of trying to kill her.
And
I was like, well, you have your magic mask on. What the heck?
Yeah.
Jeez. I thought you were safe.
You got your mask on.
I had another response, but probably not radio worthy. But I thought, who does that? You know, so instead of looking at somebody, like my mom would always say that. My mom was really good at that. Somebody would be driving really slow or they'd not go when the light turned green and you'd be all bugged about it. My mom would always say, honey, you don't know what's going on in that person's life. Maybe something happened. Yeah. You know, she was always extending that. So I'm sure, you know, she sees somebody without a mask. Well, maybe they have a breathing problem. But we're not doing that these days. You know, now it's all just like.
My son does the reverse. He calls them sheep when he sees all these masses, especially down in California. You know, he'll go, bah. You know?
Well, that's just fun for everyone.
I know.
Actually, they even came up with a Dr. Seuss one here. I will not wear it on my face. I will not wear it any place. I will not wear it to get in. I will not wear it on my chin. I will not wear it on my ear. I will not wear it out of fear. I will not wear your stupid mask. I will not wear it. Do not ask.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah, I thought, and it's got like the Cat in the Hat guy, you know, right there.
Yeah.
Boy, you know, maybe we should have some little cards printed up.
Well, you know, the bottom line is what drives me, what gets me up every morning is, first, I'm just delighted to have another day at my age and stage, and I'm in excellent health. But what gets me up every morning is I tell myself, I am an American. I live in America. I have free thought and free speech. And I use it or lose it. If I don't use it, I'll lose it. And these people that are not using their free thought and not speaking up, they're the ones, they're the sheep.
And who are buying into canceling other people's free thoughts.
Right.
You know, the thing that never...
The nerves.
Well, look at what's his name, Cuomo in New York. I mean, they're all good to bash somebody until it comes home to roost. And then it's like, so, how's that working for you?
Yeah.
It always comes around. You know, it never stays in one place. So when you're silencing people and trying to force people to do things that they shouldn't have to do as Americans, it's coming for you next.
Well, our founders created a system by which each of us can pursue our own happiness without being unkind to others, without trampling on others. I mean, that's what's in, that was the purpose, to live and let live under our Constitution.
Yeah.
And respect, mutual respect for the individual and his liberties and his freedoms.
And the goal was never that we all agree on everything and that we all have the exact same idea, actually.
No.
We were allowed to debate those ideas. And
absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, I went to a law school for a couple of years, and, you know, we used to be able to get into heated arguments.
Yeah.
Heated policy or legal arguments. And then afterwards say, wasn't that swell? You know? We used to just embrace that.
But now, it's considered bad form.
Well, we have to get it back.
It really makes, you know, that idea that, you know, steel sharpens steel. So when you have a debate with some other smart person, you walk away and go, I learned some stuff.
Yeah. Well, it was okay to have a difference of opinion, walk away and have a difference of opinion and not walk away hating somebody, you know. And
not to personalize everything.
That's always the thing.
Right.
Well, we're getting here into, like, the last minute. So before we unceremoniously cut you off, and that's what always happens. And see, Bill said I was going to blow it, so now I'm not going to blow it because – I'm a contrary.
You're a contrary.
If Bill says you got it, then I fumble the ball every time. But he always tells me, you're going to be late. I'm like, oh, definitely not going to be late for that. He doesn't use that one enough, though. But we thank you for coming on with us. And your book, American Tribal Tyranny, looks awesome. I would encourage people to read also Slumbering Thunder and Going to Pieces, because I think it'll broaden people's knowledge on what's going on out there and what we're doing as a country. Thanks a lot, Elaine.
Aaron, go ahead and give your listeners my email. I welcome email questions or phone number. I don't have a phone number and email.
It's right on there on the website. It's TOPPIN at AOL.com, and it's Elaine Willman. She's on with us March 7th, 2021. Thanks a million.
Thank you,
Elaine.
You
can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
We wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.